Rosina Hill Jackson. And I'll see you on the other side.
Thank God. I thank God. I thank God, oh, thank God, thank God for another day.
Thank God for another day. Sister Rosina, you have no idea how many times you sang that song with me along the Camino. And I remember when you wrote it, inspired obviously by Carlos. And it's so good to see you, to hear you, and Unity family. Hey! Hey, hey. Oh my goodness. I'm back. It's been a little bit overwhelming to think of how in the world I can take the experiences I have just had in the last 3 months, especially the beginning of it on the Camino, 30 days, and distill it into a few minutes to share with you. But I will share that I keep having kind of a message come in about creating a class series of my life lessons and adventures along the Camino. So if there's an interest in that, I would love to, you know, even if there's not an interest in it, I'm interested in it because Spirit is telling me about it. So my plan is to create that, and when it's ready, to present it, because I so want to share with you all this amazing, amazing journey. It was amazing. It was magical. And it was hard, tough, grueling. And some of you may not even know who I am. I am Britt Hall. I am Reverend Britt Hall, proud to be the senior minister of Unity of New York, of this community that is near and dear to every single cell and corpuscle of my being, of my heart. And I remember when Paul used to go away on sabbaticals and people would gravitate to Unity while he was away. And they'd all be going, who is Paul? People keep talking about Paul. So if I don't know you, hi, I look forward to knowing you. And I had a really interesting, slightly disconcerting thing happen just minutes ago. As I'm really living in the moment, fully and present, I'm watching that beautiful sunrise over Rosina singing Use Me. And I got kind of hypnotized and drawn in and fixated on the sun. And it spoke to me. It did. It spoke to me. And it said, Rit, let go. You keep this theme of letting go in your life. So let go of anything you have prepared, of any outline, any notes, and trust. Trust, Grasshopper. Trust. And I heard the voice continue to say, if you can be fully in trust and faith, walking, doing what you did for 30 days, you can trust me for a few minutes to share what needs to come through. So, are you with me? Since you're still here, I'm going to take that as a yes. So we're going to throw away whatever I thought I would talk about and see what I'm supposed to talk about. And the first thing that's coming to mind is some of you may not even know what we're referring to of me being gone for 3 months, me doing a sabbatical, me walking the Camino. The Camino, if you're not familiar, this is going to be a little synopsis. I can feel it. Okay, the Camino is a journey, a pilgrimage that started back in the 9th century. And Camino de Santiago means the way of St. James. St. James the Great took this pilgrimage and walked from the Pyrenees Mountains of France to Santiago, Spain, the Galician corner of the northwest corner of Spain. And people followed him. And there are different routes that you can take now. And my friend David Ault and I, we met in Lisbon, Portugal on July 7th. And we took off on July 10th. We spent a couple of days in Lisbon so that we could get acclimated to the time change and the heat, and we could begin our journey. And we did it on Sunday morning, July 10th. And we walked for 30 days to Santiago. And it is a pilgrimage. Now, not everyone does it as a true pilgrimage, which is a journey, a sacred journey to a sacred place. And it's usually a long journey. And I discovered along the way that there are a lot of pilgrims doing the pilgrimage, but not everyone is doing it for that purpose. But that's not what I want to talk about. I'm sure of that. I don't want to go off into that. What I want to talk about is you don't have to do something that extreme to be on the pilgrimage. We're all on the pilgrimage. It's the journey. And it's about the process of the journey that we are taking. It was so important along the way to stay in beginner's mind. You know, Rosina, I just shared with you that you sang that song to me and through me many, many days, many moments during the Camino. Because before I left, I shared with you all on a Sunday that my intention was to prepare to arrive and to step off and to put one foot in front of the other foot, in front of the other foot. And there is nothing that I have discovered that is as powerful as the Camino to stay in the moment, one step at a time. So right now, I'm flashing back to the first day. God knows I have got so many stories I could share, but I'm going back to the first day because there are a couple of things coming to me. We quickly learned a saying, an affirmation really, early in the Camino that says, the Camino provides. And of course, being the advanced soul and truth student I am, I immediately knew that that really means the universe provides, which it always does. But I quickly learned how that is appropriate to the Camino. I also shared with you, I can't believe I have this this morning. This has been my bottle, and it's with me every day now. And because I drank water along the way as I needed to and I had to. And of all the water bottles on planet Earth, because like attracts like, David and I had the same water bottle. It's got a filter in it. So anyway, I'll probably be sucking on my bottle because I'm so used to it and I love water. So where was I before telling you about my water bottle? So I also shared with you before I left that one of my main focuses and goals was not overpacking. It seems like I've overpacked my entire life. So I really focused on that. I really focused on the needs. I did not pack at the last minute. I was gathering things for 6 to 8 weeks. Well, I still overpacked. I got to Lisbon and was like, this ain't possible. This is like carrying a cement slab on my back, this backpack. So what I had done, because I had more of a trip throughout Europe after the Camino, is I brought a suitcase with only a couple of things in it. It was almost empty. And I let things go from my backpack when I got to Lisbon. And the first angel that showed up in my life, because did I mention angels? Angels along the way, the Camino provides, and the Camino for me provided through angels. People would show up. They would show up. I think I could actually see angel wings on some of them. So there's a gentleman who runs tours. He has a tour company. And I've been on a number of his tours with David over the years. And Lewis has been on a number of the tours. And he had just recently moved to Lisbon, Portugal. So I got to meet him. His name is Alish. And I got to meet him, and he offered to take my suitcase after I had put things in it from my backpack and to send it on to my next stop after the Camino, which was Geneva, Switzerland. And that was my first angel. He offered to do that. He'd take care of that for me. So we start walking on day one, Sunday, July 10th. And my backpack was still too heavy, still way too heavy. And I was distressed about it. Going up hills was really challenging. And after we began at sunrise, or before sunrise, 6 a.m., after a few miles into it, my body was telling me, this is not sustainable. You have to let more things go. Now, one of the things I took with me, and I questioned this, was my laptop, because it's very light. The cord is heavy, but the laptop is very light. I'm on it right now, speaking to you. And it weighed 3 pounds altogether, the laptop and the cord. Well, that's a lot when you add it to all the other poundage. So anyway, along that first day, as we continued on, I thought, oh my God, me, Mr. Strong, Fit, Healthy, this is not doable. I felt like my knees, my hips, my feet, I felt like everything could collapse at any moment. And I had a vision of one of those shows. I've glanced at it a couple of times on TV. It's the strongman competitions, where they're pulling semi trucks behind them with, I think, their teeth, with a thing in their teeth, but they're pulling these trucks. I felt like I was pulling a semi truck behind me. And I didn't want to feel defeated. Now, as an aside that's coming to me, that's very important, David and I, when we talked about our intentions and what we envisioned along the way while being fully present to each moment, we talked about and agreed that neither one of us has anything to prove to anyone by doing this. We're doing this. The experience will be what it will be. The goal is to reach Santiago, which we will do, no matter what it takes to get there, which could mean not walking the whole way, but we committed to walking the whole way. So the first day, I'm like, oh my God, am I defeated? Do I need to go to Santiago, get on the train, go to Santiago now and wait for the next 4 weeks for David? Because he did not overpack. And we reached a point in that first day where I had to sit down a few times. And I said, David, I don't know how I can make it 10 kilometers more. And it was hot. Some of you read my letters or heard my videos along the way for the newsletters, and it was record-breaking heat in Portugal when we began this journey. And by record-breaking, they're on the metric system, Celsius, but in Fahrenheit, the temperature never went below 100 degrees that first week, at least the first week. And there were 3 days where it was over 110 degrees. So throw about 30 or 40 pounds on your back and walk through all kinds of hills and terrain. And it's a little difficult. So I reached a point and said, David, I don't know how I can get to our first stop. And we had to plan each day where we would stop the next day. So the first albergue was, which is a hostel where we were going, our destination that day, was in a little village called Apriot. And I said, it's not like I could call an Uber. What am I going to do? And I said, well, I need to manifest a cab. Where am I going to manifest a taxi? Well, where we were walking at that particular time was along this beautiful river, the Rio Tejo, coming out of Lisbon. And there was a resort area. And David pointed out, why don't you go into the concierge when we reach that resort up ahead and see if you can get a taxi. I said, that's brilliant. And as we got closer, there sat a taxi. This man had stopped to get out and take a little break and stretch his legs. And I saw him, and I was trying to get his attention because it's not like I could run really fast with my cement slab on my back to get to him. But he said, no, I'm here. So I got there. His name was Eduardo. He was my very first new best friend on the Camino. And I knew right away he was an angel. He didn't know it, but he was an angel. So I got in Eduardo's taxi. I told David I would see him there. And I had to take a taxi the rest of the way to the albergue in Apriot. So when we got there, we met our hosts. I was the first one there, obviously, of the day. And I think there were 8, maybe 10 beds in that particular hostel, albergue. Our hosts, their names were Sandra and Bruno. And we talked, David and I talked, we were talking about what I had to do and my backpack, and they were seasoned Camino pilgrims. They had done the Camino 50 times each because they lived there and it's just a part of their lives. So Bruno and Sandra said, take everything out of your backpack. I'm like, you are not getting up in my business, in my backpack. Like, take everything out of your backpack. You do not need all of that. Because Bruno, this really strong, he's a cop, and he picked up my backpack and said, oh, no. Not possible. I said, yeah, I know. I already got that lesson. So they helped me go through my backpack. And Sandra went and got a box to put things in. She mailed it for me to Geneva. And one of the things I had to let go of was my laptop. Now my bag was still heavy, my pack was still heavy, but it kept getting lighter step by step. But the immediate lesson I got is, how much stuff do I keep dragging around in my life? How much stuff do we keep dragging around in our lives? one lesson I learned on this venture, on this adventure, on this Camino, on this pilgrimage, is how little we really need in life. And I'm really watering that seed so that it may continue to grow and blossom and sprout in my life, so that I can continue to let things go. And I also immediately learned that this journey was going to be about the process, the journey, the pilgrimage, because the old adage that it's not the destination, it is the journey, could not be more appropriate when walking 634 kilometers or close to 400 miles in 30 days, moment by moment by moment. There are so many times, so many days, and David went through this also. People go through this. I wanted it to be over. Not necessarily the whole Camino, but I wanted the day, I wanted to be at the destination. And because I was with my thoughts for an average of 8 or 10 hours a day, walking, no TV, no music, except what was playing in my head, I really got to be fully, fully present in each and every moment. Each and every moment. That's all we have. Each and every moment. I could tell so many stories, but this is the one that's really coming to me. Each and every moment. It's like, Britt, keep it simple. If you get to where your destination is later today, you're going to miss the process. And every moment is part of the process. You're going to miss the thoughts you're having. You're going to miss the trees. You're going to miss the potential to meet someone from someplace along the way, to meet more angels. The pain, the struggle, the joy, the oneness, becoming one with everything around me, all part of the process. So how often, how much time do we spend trying to get to skip, to take a quantum leap and skip through the process to get to where we're going? To not read the book, to just find out what it was about. What would be the purpose of going to a movie? You can just read what it was about. Lewis used to say, why are you watching these football games? You can just get the score tomorrow. I'm like, what's the point of that? I wanted to experience it moment by moment. So I think my first message then of the Camino is the lesson of being in the moment. There are angels along the way that will continue to show up, and they did show up for me throughout the entire Camino when I needed something especially. Someone showed up, the Camino provided, the universe provided. I walked in trust, I walked in faith. As Rosina's saying, one foot in front of the other foot, in front of the other foot, right, left, left, right. And when I needed to stop, I did. So be open. We're all on a pilgrimage. You don't have to do the Camino to be on a pilgrimage. You don't have to go to a sacred place on planet Earth to be on a pilgrimage. The sacred place is us, wherever we are, within us. The destination is within us, because in truth, we never arrive. We reach a destination, we reach a goal, and then there's another one, and then there's another one, and then there's another one. And some of them are bigger markers than others. Some of them are reaching Santiago de Compostela in the northwest corner of Spain after walking 30 days to get there. But I see you walking your pilgrimage, walking your journey, doing your very best to remember to take in every moment, to not try to bypass anything, to not try to spiritually bypass the pain. The pain sucks. The struggle sucks. The difficulties suck. And they're part of it all. They're right there intertwined with the joy, with the magic, with the wonder of what is, what is yet to be. So I say walk on your own unique pilgrimage that is like no one else's. It can't be. It's yours. And know that there will always be angels along the way. Just notice them. Let's meditate. Come on a journey. Let's all go on this journey through this beautiful imagery. It looks so much like what I got to experience, even though there were all kinds of terrain. We can all walk this journey together right now and do a walking meditation, a virtual walking meditation. And it will be a completely different experience for each one of us. Walk at your own pace. What are you seeing that speaks to your heart? What time of year is it? What does the air feel like? What is the temperature? Is it warm? It looks like it might be cool for the lack of leaves that were on the trees. Is it early morning? Walking in the mist, in the coolness on your face, knowing that there is something in that fog on the other side that awaits you. And the only way to know what's there to continue step by step, step by step, by step, in each moment, letting your shoulders drop and your body relax as you walk Don't lock your knees. Just walk easy. This is your journey. It's your experience. Angels we see along the way. And there are angels we can't see. Oh, the beauty. Beauty and the lusciousness of life. We don't just stop and smell the roses. We smell every delight along the way. These delights are just for us, just for you. Look at the safety of the canopy, of these beautiful trees that represent life, safety, shelter, becoming one with all that is, with Pachamama, Mother Earth, reminding you that you are held, you are loved, you are taken care of, always taken care of. Open the process of the experience, journey, the pilgrimage that is uniquely yours. You will never ever walk alone.
Beside you, when you walk through a storm, keep your chin up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be you. There are angels beside me.